Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Brother Julius again. We are going through the book of James. We are in James chapter 2, and we have gone as far as verse 10. And in verse 1 to 10, it was actually talking about we should not be partial. Don't have the respect of persons when in judgment, when we are trying to deal with people. A rich man comes to your congregation, a poor man also comes. Don't elevate the rich man and put the poor man down there under your footstool. That's really what he's talking about. And we as human beings have that respectability that we need to deal with when it comes to the household of faith, so that we just to love our neighbor as ourselves. That poor man is your neighbor, just like the rich man is your neighbor also. So, but don't elevate the rich and downgrade the poor just because he's poorer in the way he looks than you. Or because this man is so rich the way he looks than you, and you begin to show some respectability. That's what Apostle James is talking about. Just treat everybody equally, with respect, both the poor and the rich. And then you will not offend. And that's what he's saying. And he went further in verse 10. We are now in verse 10. He said, for whosoever shall keep the old law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. Think about that. See, there are 10 commandments. Oh yeah, don't do this, don't do that. If you offend one, you are a sinner. You don't have to break all the 10. Just one, you are already a sinner. So that's what he's saying. Verse 11 says, for he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou become a transgressor of the law. That's what he's saying. Any of those offenses will make you a sinner. Not, you don't have to break all of them to go to hell. So that's why he said that if you commit no adultery yet, you kill. And Jesus Christ said, even to curse somebody, to be angry with somebody without a cause is a murder. So you are just as guilty as the murderer. So then he says, so speak ye, verse 12, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. Now you see, when you look at the scripture, you can see that no man can be saved by keeping the law. So that's why Christ comes to freely forgive the old human race and then give us a new heart, a new nature. So when Christ is in you, you should automatically be righteous. When Christ is in us, we are made righteous, so that the law is fulfilled in us. So we don't need the thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, because we don't do those things anymore when Christ comes to you. So that is very important, that even though Apostle James is still bringing forth this point to the forefront, but Christ in us makes us to fulfill all those laws. So if you are still struggling with any of those offenses, that means get born again. What you need is to be born again. Christ come and live inside you, and those offenses will not be in you anymore, because you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Verse 14 of James chapter 2. And it's changing gear again now. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not work, and have not works? Can faith save him? Now he's comparing faith and work, and he's going to have a reason why he's comparing that, because when you go to the book of Apostle Paul, you see Apostle Paul emphasizing that we are saved by grace through faith. That is, it is a free gift that God gave to us. That is what grace means. But it is because we believe, that's through our faith, we believe, that's why you are saved. And when Apostle James is trying to do a corollary between faith and works, it could be misunderstood as if he's saying it is not faith that saves us, it is works that saves us. And people have assumed that that was what was going against Apostle Paul in this letter. But not really. If you understand the grace of God, and where faith comes into play, you know that we are saved through by grace of God that saved us through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we are saved from our sin. And when we are saved, we are automatically on our way to heaven. But the works of righteousness that we are talking about here is to give us the reward when we come before Christ, the reward for serving Him. And like I explained in the previous sermon, if you don't have Christ at all, your works are dead. No matter how good your works are, they won't get to heaven because you don't have Jesus Christ. You have to partake of the sacrifice of Christ, first and foremost, before you can be saved. But Apostle James was trying to compare faith and works here, and he's going to describe it in another way. Say the works of righteousness you are showing is what he thinks is like certifying that you have faith. That's what he really says. He doesn't say you don't need faith. He said that you certify that you have faith. Now let's read it the way he said it. See, what does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? So what he's saying is that, well, somebody needs your help, you can help him or her, but you didn't give the help, you just say, I'll pray for you. And you pray and pray a beautiful prayer and say, oh, God is going to supply it. But see, many times God supplied this need through men, through men. So if he has given you the opportunity to be able to supply that need for that person, don't postpone it to let somebody else do it. No, that is where he's talking, is coming from. Don't think somebody else will do it. Try to be the one to do it. Then God is going to be seeing your faith working because you're helping your brother. So that's really what he's talking about. Don't push it forward to somebody else to do it and see how you'll be blessing you and be praying you when you can afford to help him out. Maybe that's why he comes to you or she comes to you. So that is very important. That's what he's saying here. That's if a brother is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled. That's the kind of prayer. He said, yeah, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. So what does it profit? Verse 17, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 18, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So he's saying, this is how I show that I believe. I believe in righteousness, I believe in holiness, I believe in God by showing my works right here physically, that this is my proof that I am following God. That's what he's saying. He said, that's my faith working. Verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. He starts to say, well, even Satan believes there's one God. And Satan is not going anywhere other than lake of fire. So you can believe there's God, that's not enough. You better do the works of God. Show that you believe God, you are fearing God, and you are serving God by helping other people. That's what he's saying. By doing the works of righteousness, that's serving God. Because the Bible will say in a place, when you give to the poor, you are lending to the Lord. That's a good Bible verse. He that giveth to the poor, lendeth to the Lord. So that means when you are doing the works of righteousness, you are serving God. Because the Bible says, do all things as unto Christ. So whatever we are doing, we are doing it for the Lord. So if you are doing something to help your neighbor that needed help, you are doing something to help your brother that needed some financial help, say you are doing it to the Lord. So now if you say, I believe in the Lord, and yet you are not doing something that you could have done to help your brother or your sister, then you are not doing it to the Lord. So that is where you have to compare the faith and works here. So your faith in Christ should be producing works of righteousness. Verse 20. Say, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Sayest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then now that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Now, when he brought in the story of Abraham here, and when you go to the book of Paul described that Bible verse that was cited, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. It was not when he sacrificed Isaac that God said that. It was when God told him that, oh, you will have a son. When he said, I have no son. And God said, you have not given me a seed. And God said, oh, you will have a seed. You look into the sky. Can you count them? So shall a seed be. And the Bible says Abraham believed. That believing in what he has not seen and God promised of a future things like that. And he believed, God said, that is righteousness. So that was where Apostle Paul was quoting the scriptures to confirm that Abraham is justified not by not the sacrifice of Isaac that justified him. It is believing what God promised when he asked nothing. That was what justified him. That's what you see, because because they are both of them quoted the same Bible verse, but Apostle Paul explained it clearly that you see the word of God is when God said it is very important, and that's what Apostle Paul is saying. God said it to Abraham when he has not had any child yet, and he just believed what God said. That is Genesis chapter 15. You can read from verse 1 to verse 6 here. He was in a vision, and Abraham talked to God in verse 2. God first spoke to Abraham, said, I am. So after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God talking to Abraham in a vision. And Abraham answered and said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless? And that was when he was still like 75 years old. What is he old? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is my heir. So Abraham was more or less talking to God and said, I have no son, no child, nothing. Somebody that is a servant that's going to own everything after if I die right now. He was already 75 years old by this time, or even older. And verse 4 said, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And said to him, so shall thy seed be. But verse 6 is what they are talking about. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So now, that is the Bible verse that is being quoted in the book of James. In verse 23, I said, the scripture said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. So it was when he believed, when he asked nothing, and God promised that, look at the stars, can you count them? So shall thy seed be. And he believed that when he was already 75 years old, and he asked nothing to his child, that God said, for believing me, that's righteousness. That's doing the right thing. So that is what Apostle Paul said, that was what justified Abraham, our faith in the Lord. The same way we are justified by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You heard the gospel that Jesus Christ's death on the cross is to save your soul. He shed his blood just to make you a holy person, to cleanse you. And you believe that, that's righteousness in the eyes of God. Everything you are doing before, all the works to do this, they are not the one that will make you righteous. Just believing that he died for you on the cross, that it is for your purpose that he died, not that he died on his own purpose. And that's what the Jews couldn't believe. They were thinking he was that man that was crucified, he was guilty, he was a blasphemer. That's why they crucified him. And they were putting all the heaps of sin upon the Messiah. But the Bible just said, he died for you and me to save us from our sins. When you believe that, God will work a work in you and give you a new nature. That believing that, you have to believe it. If you don't believe it, it won't work. It won't be so for you. But when you believe that, that is called righteousness. That is what justifies us. That was what Apostle Paul was saying. We are justified by faith in Christ's shed blood. If you don't understand that, you will be thinking like the letter of James seems to be saying, that it is when you do something now that you are justified. Whatever you do now, it's not what you do now. What you do now is to certify that you have been saved. If you have not been doing the works of righteousness, then it looks like you are not understanding salvation. You are not understanding that Christ has changed your heart, and now you are now to walk for him. The Bible said in the Titus chapter 2 verse 11, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we are to deny all those evil things, we should live soberly, godly, and righteously in this present world. So what are we saying? It is the grace that teaches us that we are to live, do the works of righteousness. Verse 11 and 12. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. That's this grace that we are talking about. You are saved by grace through the faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. It has appeared to all men. You are now to accept it and believe in it. But he's teaching us that we have to deny ungodliness. So you have to deny ungodliness. If you really understand it, you have to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Those are the sinful nature. And live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And he went further in verse 13 and 14 that you have to keep looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. So Christ redeemed us from all iniquity, not that sort of, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So then when we are saved, we are to be zealous of good works. So it's not the good works that is going to save us. It is we are saved, make us to be now be zealous of good works and do the good works that you are zealous to do. So we can't put the cart before the horse, is what you are saying. Because if you don't understand the scripture, you'll be putting the cart before the horse. And you have to do your good works before you can be saved, which is what it looks like James chapter 2 is saying here. But that's not what Apostle Paul is saying. You have to be saved, and then when you are saved, you should be zealous. You should be zealous of good works and do those good works that salvation has taught you to do. And that's why I read the book of Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. Say, Christ has redeemed us from all iniquity, that's our salvation, saved from our bad nature, evil nature, sinful nature, and is purifying us a peculiar people that are zealous of good works. So from now that we are saved, we are zealous to do good. We are zealous to be righteous. We are zealous to do things that are pleasing to God. That zeal is what you make you to do the good works. And God is going to be blessing you. So the salvation makes us to be zealous of good works. And doing those good works is for reward in heaven, not to give us saved. We are already saved. We are doing the good works. But those who are not saved because they don't believe Jesus Christ, they are not saved. If you don't believe in Christ Jesus, you don't accept his sacrifice on the cross, you are not saved. No matter your good works is unrighteousness. The Bible says, all our good works, all our righteousness are filthy rags before God. That's why he came to sacrifice his blood for us. Those who partake of that sacrifice, now they are accepted as righteous before God. Then your good works will be acceptable as a reward for you. Verse 24, let's go back to the book of James. Verse 24 says, ye see then now that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. We are justified by the faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Our works is to certify that we are actually justified. We are actually already justified and we are already saved. Verse 25. Likewise also it was given another example. Say, you say, Rahab the harlot, justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, when you get to those two Bible verses, he gave an example of Rahab the harlot. If you don't know the story of Rahab, you have to go to the book of Joshua and read it in Joshua chapter 2. Where Rahab the harlot, that woman was an harlot. So you can say her trade was bad, not so. An harlot was a sinner, not so. But an harlot can still believe there is a God, not so. And she heard about the Israelites that are coming from Egypt, how their God was doing wonders. And he believed that that is the true God, all right, that can divide the Red Sea. And she feared for her life. And when she had the opportunity, while the rest of the city of Jericho, that was in Jericho, when they got to Jericho, they are about to destroy Jericho now. And she was living in Jericho. And the people in Jericho, they also had the same stories. They had all this news about the Israelites coming from Egypt, how things were happening, how the Israelites destroyed the two kings on the other side. And they were scared, all right, but they wanted to defend themselves. They are not going to surrender. They wanted to defend against God. They want to fight against God. See? But this harlot, when she saw the opportunity to help these two spies that came to spy out Jericho, she helped them and cried unto them that, save me and my family. Your God is the true God. That is faith in their God. But he said, James was saying it was because she saved those two spies, that was what saved the woman. Of course, if she just believed and saw the opportunity and didn't help those men and just turn them in, that means she didn't really believe in their God that is able to do wonders. She believed that God can do wonders, all right? All the other people that knew about these things and they didn't have the opportunity, you can't say they didn't believe. Yeah, they believe. But if they have had the opportunity, but instead of helping, they turn these people away to their government to kill them because they are spies. Well, that means they are part of the people that are fighting against this God. They said they believe what he did. Because it's one thing to believe that this the God of this Israelites is the true God, or is just one of the gods. See, that is the difference. Parts make the difference. Because in Jericho, in those days, they have their own god, an idol they call it, that they might have been praying to their own idol to save them. So those who think the idol can save them, if they think the idol of these other people, which we say the god of these other people also is powerful, but they think their own god or their own idol is just as powerful, so they are going to be trying to fight for their own god or their own idol. But the difference between them and Rahab was that perhaps Rahab didn't believe in those idols they were worshiping anyway, but she heard about the God that divided the Red Sea, the God that did those wonders in the wilderness. Said that must be the true God. So by believing that that is the true God, she was ready to go to the side of that God that is the true God. And when she saw the opportunity, she cried unto them that I'm not going to turn this away, I'm going to be part of them. That's really what she did. And of course, that was what saved her, that turning herself to be part of them, to protect them, and send them away, and say, save my life. That is what saved her from being destroyed with them. But it was because she believed in the true God, and that their God is the true God. Whatever idol they were worshipping, that they were thinking would defend their city, that is no God. So that is the only. So we can now say, yes, it is the faith of that woman Rahab in the true God that saved her, rather than the fact that she sent those people out and protected them. Because if she didn't believe that is the true God, she most likely would say our own God can fight their own God too, and try to fight for her own God and turn these people over, just like the other people have done. So it is both faith and the fact that she protected them that saved her. That's true. So that's what James is saying. So you don't want to overemphasize works and neglect faith. That's why he said it's not faith only. Faith has to produce some evidence. Remember that faith has to produce some evidence. Remember that. Remember examples of people that came to the Lord Jesus Christ when he was preaching. The woman with the issue of blood. She had the issue of blood for 12 years, the Bible says. But when she heard about Jesus Christ, that people were touching this rabbi and they were getting healed, she believed. Believing alone is not enough, because faith is believing also. But she has to produce some works. She said to herself, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I also will be made whole. But that's still good, that's still faith. But she better go and touch the hem of the garment. But that's going to take some serious work. That is the work that we save her. If she didn't produce that work, there will be no story to tell. So faith is essential. But faith has to produce some evidence. And that was the evidence of that woman, that she really believed. She was ready to struggle through the crowd just to touch this Messiah. And when she did, she was healed. And that is an example of what James was saying here. That it is the works that woman produced. And when she touched Jesus Christ said, thy faith has made thee whole. You see now, it is not thy works have made thee whole. Let's go to that story. If you can get that story real quick, that the Lord Jesus Christ told that woman with the issue of blood that came running and finally got to Jesus Christ. When that woman was healed, Jesus Christ didn't say, thy works of touching me has made you. He said, thy faith has made you go in peace, be whole of thy plagues. So because it takes faith for that woman to press through the crowd like that, but the works of pressing through the crowd is what we are saying. That has to show. If you don't press through the crowd to go touch this man, it means that you are not ready to show your faith. You have to show your faith by those steps. Those steps that you take, that is showing your faith. If you don't take those steps, you just give up. I say, too much crowd. And you let it go. Then you will be the one to blame. You will be sorry because you won't get what you are believing for. So that is why Jesus said, it is the faith of that woman that made her whole. Say, they go in peace. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So always remember, your faith must produce some works. That's what Apostle James is saying here. Verse 26 of James chapter 2. For as the body without the spirit is dead, So faith without works is dead also. That is, if I say I believe and I am expecting miracle, and the Lord said, rise up. Take for example, when he got to somebody that, and he told, let's get to this man that was by the pool of Bethesda. The man has been sitting for many years. They said the man has been coming to that pool where they said an angel come every season to stir the water up. And the man believed that if you could get into that water first, he'll be made whole. But he couldn't get in there, other people step in there before him. But there come one day, Jesus Christ came by and said to the man, will thou be made whole? She didn't know who Jesus Christ was, so she tried to respond and said, well, gee, I tried. Many times before I get there, people get in there before me. Jesus Christ just said, rise and take up your bed and walk. Now that is a command. The man has to take those steps. Once he took the step to take up her bed, his bed, you just see that he's able to do it and he's well. And that effort is believing. It's exercising your faith. So the same way when Jesus Christ said to the woman, thy faith has made you, our faith must produce those steps of faith that show that we believe what it said we should do. When he told the man that was born blind and is put upon the ground, made clear out of spittle, anoint the eyes of the man and say, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. If the man didn't go to wash, that means he didn't believe what the Lord Jesus said. But because he didn't even know who Jesus Christ was, they were just passing by and they were talking about him. He was listening. And this man did what he did and said, go and watch. But he believed and went and watched. Somebody led him to the pool. And when he did, his eyes was restored. Those steps of going to watch is essential. That is what I'm trying to point out. Those are the works that your faith must do, the works of righteousness. And that is what God was proving in Abraham also after he has received the baby now. After Abraham has received the baby, now God said, well, does this man still believe that God can still do miracles? Go and kill this baby and sacrifice him on the altar on the mountain. Abraham still believed God that way. God said, my seed will still be as the stars of heaven. This is the only seed that is still left. Well, God is able to fulfill what he said. My seed will be as the stars of heaven. So he went and did that. So those steps is proving his faith that, yes, I believe what God said. So that faith is very essential to produce works. You must take those steps as God commanded it. Go and watch. That he told the man that was born blind. He went and watched and he got his sight. So our faith must produce some works and must show some action. We call it actions of faith, we call it works. Actions of your faith. In some of the other sermons I preach, I say these are actions of faith. We will continue this in the next chapter of the book of James. I pray that the Lord will bless your heart with all of this exhortation. God bless you.